The following program is brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.
CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us as we get together every week in the afternoon at this time, answering questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events, and also what we hear in church on Sunday. Is it even in the Bible at all? Well, if you'd like Sunday. To ask us a question, we'll do our very best to answer that for you. That number to call again, 8888-ASK-CSN, and we'll do our very best to get to your question today. You know, a lot of times, when we share our faith, read our Bible, we come across something we don't understand, somebody asks us a question, we want to give them a good answer. And so that's why we make ourselves available every weekday afternoon live so that you can ask those questions for us and to us, and we'll do our best to give you an answer. And so we're really glad that you're joining us today, looking forward to being with you. And also joining us today, we have Jeff Wickwire from Turning Point Ministries in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, and welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing today?
Always a blessing to be with you. I appreciate you so much for being on the program and also being here on CSN about an hour after the program's over. How are things in Texas right now?
Things are gorgeous. I mean, it's beautiful weather outside. You know, as I say every single time, but it's true, it keeps happening. But we're having another COVID spike, and so everybody's freaking out once again. And we're hearing talks of closings coming and all of this. So we're just having really to navigate day by day the way this goes down and just trust the Lord. But in the meantime, you know, church is doing good. Even though we don't have as many people sitting in chairs, they're watching online. And we've been getting great feedback, Mike, from CSN, from around the country, from our Life Talk program, heard there, as you know, 7:30 Central Time, p.m., and we're just getting some good feedback from people that are appreciating the broadcast, and we're so thankful for CSN. It's a powerful outreach, and you know, you stop and think that right now we're speaking to six time zones and all at once live. People listening in rush hour traffic, people listening at home, at the workplace, wherever they may be, and I really believe, Mike, it has become a haven of comfort and information and inspiration for people all across the United States who really need to hear, you know, some stable, steady biblical voices when there's so much nuttiness out there.
Yeah. And you know, prayerfully, you know, Jeff, maybe just as others have inspired me and you, perhaps we can inspire others to make a stand for what's right. You know, so many people don't, and we find so many churches coming down now on the wrong side of everything. They're coming down in support of candidates that support abortion. They come down on with candidates that support the transgender stuff that the Bible says God will destroy a nation over. Again, read Romans chapter 1, and then you're going to know if your church is even in the right place or not. Oh, but our pastor, he's a really nice guy. I don't care if he's a nice guy or not. If he isn't following God's word, the Bible says he shouldn't be there, and you shouldn't be there either. I think we're in exciting times, Jeff. And again, being about our Father's business is so important from every aspect. And to just encourage every pastor everywhere and every person that goes to church, encourage your pastor to teach the Bible line upon line, precept upon precept. Because in that, you're going to actually learn and you're going to know God's word. Not just the pastor's favorite topics, but you're going to actually learn the scripture. I think it's so important.
Yeah, amen. You know, Mike, if I were not pastoring, that is exactly what I'd be looking for. Give me a church that is just teaching through the scriptures. I don't need a pastoral superstar. Just give me a church where the scriptures are being taught line upon line, People are hearing the word of God. There's no compromise, no political correctness, no fear of speaking the truth, and worshiping Jesus in spirit and truth. That's exactly what I would be looking for if I weren't a pastor. And I hope that's what we, and I do believe that is what we offer to others, as I know you do yourself. So it's a day when people desperately want to hear the word of God taught without apology, clearly, simply, breaking it down as God intended us to hear it. And so I think that's why there's so many listeners to this program, Tima. They want to hear it.
We'll do our best to tell you straight, because that's what the word of God says we're supposed to do. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones. If you got a question again you'd like to ask us, 888-ASK-CSN, toll free. We're going to go to Daniel in Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, my brothers. God bless you. Thank you so much. My question is, when Jesus told the thief on the cross that today you'll be with me in paradise, was that a literal statement? Did Jesus go to paradise that day?
I believe he did. I believe that the thief on the cross got a treat that nobody else ever saw, and that was that he talked to Jesus. He got to go with Jesus to paradise. Now, most people, now, Jeff, there's a lot of discussion on this, so I'd like your opinion, but a lot of people believe that paradise was really, he was referring to Abraham's bosom and not heaven. If it was, in fact, Abraham's bosom, the thief on the cross got to witness this great sermon of Jesus where he led captivity captive and led them all out where the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament could not cover the sins of a person. It could cover it, but it couldn't remove it. Now the supreme sacrifice had been made in Jesus Christ. And so now he led those that were in that place of Abraham's bosom into their eternal place with him in heaven. Now, if paradise is referring to heaven, then what I think is amazing there is the first person that went into heaven that was under the new covenant of through faith were saved, you find a thief going into heaven, where it is interesting to me that the devil, the thief, took away that eternal life from us in the garden. Your thoughts?
You know, I couldn't hardly have said it better, Mike. Paradise can be one of the two. It can be heaven itself. Jesus could have been using an adjective to describe heaven. It's like it's paradise. It's a return to Eden. It's perfection. It's bliss. It's joy. But if he did go to Abraham's bosom to preach to the captives, all the Old Testament saints that Hebrews tells us so clearly, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us could not be made perfect. And there the writer of Hebrews is letting us know that the people in the Old Testament that died in faith did go into Abraham's bosom, mm-hmm. and they did not receive the ultimate promise of heaven yet, because Jesus still needed to spill his innocent blood. He still needed to die, be buried, and then resurrected from the dead. And when he was resurrected from the dead, then the way was paved for all of them to actually enter into perfection. And so the teaching is that that is why he went into paradise, to preach his victory to them and to lead captivity captive into what they had died looking for, but had not yet acquired or achieved or experienced. So either way, he immediately went either into heaven itself or Abraham's bosom, and the thief went with him. You know, we think and remember of the verse that says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And what happened with Jesus is what will happen with us. The moment the believer's body dies, he instantly goes into heaven, into the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So whichever place it was glorious. And we thank God that when we die, we will immediately go into the presence of the Lord. No soul sleep, no purgatory, none of that. Immediately into the presence of Jesus. Mike?
Amen. And that's what I've told so many people, that the idea of soul sleep is so biblically wrong. Whether it was Jairus' daughter in the book of Luke, whether it's in the Old Testament in the book of Kings with Elijah and the little boy, when they were prayed for, the Bible clearly says their spirit returned to them. It didn't say it woke up, it returned to them. And whether you look at that, you look at Samuel as an example, when the witch of Endor was doing a seance, and I believe God actually allowed, it says it was Samuel, went back and rebuked Saul for his behavior. But it doesn't say that the spirit woke up inside of somebody. So again, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hope that answers it for you.
Oh, mahalo, my brothers. Bless you, folks.
Mahalo to you, and may the Lord keep you, Daniel. And stay in line if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs for calling in. With that, we'll go to Irving in Missouri. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, Pastor. I had a question concerning the Gospel of John in chapter 11.
Yes.
About the death of Lazarus. And verse 14 says, "Then Jesus said to them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him.'" In verse 16, it says, "Then Thomas, who is called a twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us go, that we may die with him.'" So I'm just a little confused why Thomas would say that.
All
whether
right.
he actually knew what was going on, or he's just trying to sound like he knew.
Yeah, yeah, what was that's great, happen. Great question. Your thoughts, Jeff?
Well, I think that Thomas was concerned about persecution coming to Jesus, and that perhaps they might be killed, because the closer he got to the cross, the more violent and the more threatening the Pharisees, Sadducees, religious leaders, and Roman leadership had become, so that they were starting to think that any time now, some really vicious persecution could come against Jesus, where he could be taken out, where he could be hurt. And the disciples being with him, they were concerned that they might also be killed as well. And of course, you got Thomas talking, who was doubting Thomas. He's the one that struggled with his faith. So that was Thomas's concern. But Jesus knew that, he could go heal Lazarus. He could touch him. The sickness would go away and Lazarus would have been raised from the sick bed. But Jesus knew, if I raise him from the dead, we're talking about a miracle on a whole different level. And it's going to really testify to who I am as the resurrection and the life. So Jesus, you know, it's interesting to me that when the messengers from Mary and Martha got to Jesus, he did not jump. He did not run. He did not respond to a 911 situation. But he sat very quiet, he knew what God was doing. He knew what was about to take place regarding a resurrection from the dead. And it's always struck me that, you know, every time somebody tells you something is an emergency, it may be an emergency on earth, but it's not an emergency in heaven, because it was not an emergency to Jesus. Jesus knew something greater is going to happen, though it looks like a tragedy has taken place. Lazarus going on and dying, it's actually going to be to the glory of God, that all of the witnesses would know this is not just a healer of the sick. This is the resurrection. Jesus is the one who will raise us all from the dead one day. He's the resurrection and he's the life. So at the end of the day, it was a far greater miracle, and Thomas got to see it, and certainly something he never, ever forgot. Mike?
Yeah, and I think if you just to answer, you can look this up for yourself there in the book of John as you're continuing reading. Read in John 12, verse 9. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 9, and I'll just read it in the next few verses. It says, "Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there." This was where Lazarus had died. "And they came not only because of him, but to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him," Lazarus being raised from the dead, "many of the Jews were deserting them and believing in Jesus." So Thomas realized that the hostility between the Sanhedrin and Jesus was increasing. And the problem is the reaction of the miracles became so stark and so violent Now they wanted to kill Lazarus, whom Jesus had just rose back from the dead. Hope that answers it for you.
Yeah, I had a second question, too.
Sure.
I've heard some of the teachers on CSN mention the word metaphysics. I'm not sure what that is.
Okay, Jeff, give us a little bit of a definition there.
Well, metaphysics, all right, you have two words there. Meta is from the Greek word that means beyond. Physics, of course, is the physical world. The word metaphysics simply means beyond the natural things that we can see, taste, touch, hear, and smell. You could also call it the spiritual world, metaphysical world, the metaphysics. You know, there's people that give their lives studying metaphysics. It simply means beyond what we can see with our natural eyes, the natural world. It is the spiritual world. So, you know, we have a metaphysical faith. We have a faith that believes in and sees things that we can't see with our natural eye. They are beyond the natural world. So we have a metaphysical faith. We actually have a metaphysical God. Our God, Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 4, I believe, that God is invisible. And you can't see God with a natural eye. So he's meta, he's beyond physical. But just because something is not, cannot be seen, doesn't mean that it's not real. Just because something is invisible doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Mike?
Amen. So, Irving, I hope that answers it for you.
Yeah, thank you.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Stay in line if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. With that, we'll go to James, Toledo, Ohio. Hi, Will.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi, good. How are you? How can we help?
Not bad. Hey, I've been listening to you guys for years, and a lot of times I get to listen to you guys, and I thank God for the knowledge that you guys have concerning the Word of God. But my question is concerning, I don't hear too much about racism or social justice. I hear about the transgender mm-hmm. and homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And by the Word of God, they're in the eyesight of God, they're just as bad as each other. And I was just wondering, should you address some of those issues sometime?
Well, sure. And here's the reason why I'm very, very cautious to do a lot of that. When you realize in the Bible that Gentiles, from the Jewish perspective, were, talk about racism. The Jewish people were so racist against anyone, any color, that wasn't Jewish. We remember Jesus met the woman at the well, and she said, "Howbeit you ask me for a drink of water. You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't have dealings with one another." I believe in the family of God, there is no color. I don't believe there's anything like that. I believe that we're all one family in God, and I have black friends. I have Hispanic friends. I have white people friends. I have all kinds of friends. So I don't see really any room for racism whatsoever in the family of God. Does it exist? Well, we know it does. We see it. It's wrong. There's no doubt about it. But when we go overboard, and this is what much I believe is being instilled through the media. I think the media is one of the greatest problems in America right now. They whip up points. They're the ones that aren't honest in their reporting, which bring people to the wrong conclusion. They'll pull over. We on Facebook, to Every Man an Answer, we put up the truth about the American news media. And they'll show a cop pulling over a car. This is what's on the evening news. And the cops are just beating the guy with a belly club, and he's falling down there, beating him and all this kind of stuff. Police brutality is everywhere, and racism runs rampant. The problem is they didn't show the whole video. They didn't show the guy getting out of the car with a gun pointed at the officers. And one of the officers came around and got the drop on him and knocked him down and got the gun out of his hand, which he wouldn't let go. But you can't see the gun in his hand. See, the American news media is doing this. Why? Because I believe any country that forgets to love one another won't be a country very long. And I believe as long as the American news media still controls the lies that they control in our society to sow discord everywhere, and they do, I believe that it weakens our nation, and that's exactly what they want. They want a nation that is unable to take care of itself. They want to break that down. And I believe, James, this is one of the great problems that we have. Do I think people can be racist? I know they can be. Just to let you all know, I grew up in Southern California. I've never shared this with anybody. But I was raised in a school because of busing, if you remember that. I was the only white kid in some of my classes. Let me tell you about racism. I was beat on every single day. So I understand. Believe me, I understand racism. I was the only white kid in my class. And I was beat on every single day. It got so bad that we had to go to the doctor to get an excuse to get me out of gym class because I told my parents, they're going to kill me. And we got out of that. Let me share something with everyone. Racism goes all different directions. It isn't just the blacks don't like the whites or the whites don't like the browns or whatever. Racism is everywhere. The only cure for racism, James, is Jesus Christ. And that's what the glorious gospel is. And I just want to share with everybody how important it is that we never look on the outside of any individual's color or their background, realizing, first of all, there by the grace of God go I. But I think we really need to realize that nobody, no group of people have the right to call some other group racist. For I was beat up every single day. So I really believe we have to look at this in a little bit different picture. And there by the grace of God go I. That's one of the great things that God did in my life was to heal me of that. And he has, and he does. And I reach out to every single person everywhere, anywhere, any place that there is. And anybody else that has ever been that, maybe you are the only black kid in your class, or you are the only Mexican kid in your class, and you know what it's like. Maybe you are the only girl in your class and all the boys beat up on you. See, racism comes in all different shapes, forms, and fashions. No particular group of people have the right to claim racism against themselves. For I was beat up daily. And I think that's really important because when we realize that Jesus, it doesn't matter, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, we're all one in Christ. And that's how, James, I want to know one another. I don't want to know anybody after the flesh. I don't want to know anybody after the lies the American news media shoves down our throat every night trying to incite riots. I believe that, again, in Jesus. And by the way, everyone, Jesus wasn't white. He was in Middle Eastern descent. And I think that's really important because my Savior is not a white man. My Savior is not a black man. My Savior is not somebody from Central America. My Savior is a Jewish person from the Middle East, where the Bible says there was no comeliness in him that we would desire him. In other words, he wasn't good looking. He wasn't a superstar. But he was somebody that lived a sinless life to redeem me to heaven. And I can't wait, James, till we're all in heaven together. No more color, no more racism, no more anything like that. I think that's so important. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. And I would just add, James, quickly that the social justice movement, to my mind, presupposes that racism is systemic in America. And I really can't go with that. And to me, if you buy into the actual social justice narrative, it is that racism is systemic against blacks. And therefore, we need this national movement to shut it down. When to my mind, yes, there is still some racism for sure. I would never say not.
I agree.
But as Mike said, it goes every way. Let me tell you something. I have spoken a couple of times in an African-American church in my ministerial career where I was greeted with some darts coming out of people's eyes in the congregation. What are you doing here? A white guy. And I really, it took me about 10 minutes of preaching and kind of warming up to break that barrier down. Yeah. So it does go both ways. And so I think you're doing yourself harm to buy into that narrative. I don't believe it's true. I don't believe it's systemic. I believe that it's there, but we are light years from where we were even in the 60s. And so I am excited that when I read the New Testament, I see that Jesus was the ultimate racial barrier breaker.
Amen.
He was the ultimate racial barrier breaker. When he sat down with a woman at the well, he was the racial barrier breaker. He went against all kinds of racial taboos to sit down with her. When Philip left the revival in Samaria to go join himself to the chariot in the desert, he joined himself to a black Ethiopian that he had nothing in common with, and he had to break a racial divide to minister to that man. And I see in the New Testament that every time a man or woman of God broke the racial divide to reach somebody for Jesus, God moved in a mighty way.
Amen.
So we're all about breaking the racial divide and tearing it down and not stoking it or adding something to it that's not there, but tearing down what is there to the glory of God in the name of Christ. Mike?
Amen. And so I think it goes back to Jesus, really, James. And as long as we uphold his name, I believe then that problem cures itself. But I don't believe you can take two dogs that hate each other, force their snouts together and make them kiss and not expect a dog fight afterwards. Government can't force people to love people. It's something that changed. And that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious leader, marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. James, hope that helps.
It does. But being a black man, 59 years old.
Hey, James, hold on. We're coming up on a break. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break. We'll be back for more right after this. Don't go away.
CSN is like a part of the family. We can sit with you in your living room, cook with you in your kitchen, and travel with you in your car, offering encouragement and hope all along the way. Please let us know when you have comments or prayer requests. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact CSN at csnradio.com or call us at 800-357-4226.
You have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy, Psalm 61:3. CSN International has hundreds of stations across the nation, and each one requires a tower to broadcast from. We choose to use these towers to spread the word of God, the gospel, salvation through Jesus Christ. CSN needs your help. That's why we started Tower Keepers. It's a donation program from CSN offering you a chance to support your local station and keep it on the air. A monthly donation of whatever you can give allows CSN to continue to be the network where God's word is heard. You can join Tower Keepers. Give us a call at 1-800-357-4226 or send your donation to CSN Tower Keepers, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. For more information, you can log online to csnradio.com.
You're listening to CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. We broadcast on almost 400 stations across the nation, including multiple stations in Texas. You can listen in Amarillo, in San Antonio, Odessa, Paris, and many more cities throughout the state. Get a full station list or listen anywhere in the world live at csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
Glory to God. Expressions of worship from believers all across the world. CSN.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Jeff Wickwire. And I'm once again wanting to remind everybody, stop by our website, csnradio.com. A lot of great information there where our stations are located across the United States. And also, if you go to Facebook, To Every Man an Answer, we put up a lot of videos there for your dining and dancing pleasure. Something I think you'll enjoy. We went to the break. We had James on the line. And James, we're going back to you. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. So
good. Look, that's the thing that concerns me because I'm a fourth generation preacher, and I also work in the public service for the last 27 years. I know without a shadow of a doubt that systemic racism do exist.
Oh yeah, we know it does. We know it does, James. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
So when we come to that, we say it doesn't exist. It does. To be followed in a store for no reason. Be pulled over for no reason. Mm-hmm. So it does exist. But I love you guys. Keep up the good work. And I'll keep listening to you.
Well, wonderful, James. Stay in line. I'll send you out some things that I think will really help you. And especially if you're currently pastoring, that you can show your church. God of Wonders is absolutely fabulous. And you'll just really enjoy that. As well as Evolution versus God. And what I really like about Evolution versus God, a couple of people I know, they went on to the campus of UCLA and USC and just began to ask the teachers that are teaching evolution, where are the transitory life forms? In other words, cats turning into dogs or whatever the evolutionary trade-up is. Well, there aren't any. There's no fossil records. There's no living examples. And so this is why it's so important. So the conclusion then they bring to these teachers is this is just a faith. A religion about nothing. And oh, watch a meltdown. It's what you always wanted to do when you were in school, is to go challenge your teacher. Well, they do. And it's quite phenomenal. Evolution versus God. Great video. Stay on the line, James. We'll get that out to you as well as a couple other little books that I think you'll enjoy. 101 Last Days Prophecies. And James, carry on, my good man. God bless you. Let's go to Chuck, Tallahassee, Florida. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Pastor Mike, thank you all for taking my call. And I just wanted to say, you know, I love what you guys do. I love to listen to you. Give glory to God for you. And just a quick comment, you know, about the media. I do think that's a spiritual issue. And if
yes,
we could all turn our TVs off, we'd fix the problem. So, but my question is on the Sabbath. You know, it's one of these questions, you know, the Bible's very clear on so many things. But as a New Testament Christian, the old, you know, the Ten Commandments are still in play, but what about the Sabbath? You know, I find myself wrestling back and forth. You know, Jesus said, you know, the Sabbath was made for man and not man mm-hmm. for the Sabbath. So I kind of lean on that as a crutch sometimes, like, oh, I don't really take a Sabbath day. What's your interpretation? How should we treat the Sabbath today?
I believe that we need to take a day off a week and enjoy the blessings of God. You know, the world has a saying for it, stop and smell the roses, but the Bible basically says take a day off during the week, I'll make up the day of difference that you don't work, and I'll provide for you. Now remember, the Sabbath was a covenant between God and the Jewish people, the nation of Israel. It was not continued in the New Testament. Paul says when you come together on the first day of the week, he was very clear saying that their day of coming together. I don't care if somebody worships on Saturday or Sunday. If you're a doctor, paramedic, medical field, whatever it might be, your day of rest might be a Tuesday or a Thursday. Where the danger comes in are these groups of people come along, well, we keep the Sabbath. No, you don't. They say they keep the Sabbath, but they don't. Getting in a building on a Saturday is not keeping the Sabbath, but that's the extent of what they believe it is. But if you read the Old Testament law, you couldn't work on the Sabbath. You couldn't travel so far from your home on the Sabbath. And they say, well, we keep it through grace. No, you keep it through your own personal interpretation, which is not the scripture. And that's the problem. Another thing is, am I saved? Do I go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for me? Or I worship on Saturday or Sunday or Wednesday? We go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for us. The day we worship on every day is the Lord's day as a Christian. Your thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The scriptures are clear in the book of Hebrews and elsewhere, but particularly Hebrews, that the Old Testament law, the Sabbath, and all of that passed away with the coming of Christ. And now Jesus is our rest. You know, I rest in him every day. I get with him in the morning. My spirit rests in him. Throughout the day, I rest in him. And it really doesn't matter if you worship on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I go with Mike here that we're to worship every day. Every day is a day of worship and rest in Christ. When Christ came, then the rest that all of the Old Testament people looked for and that the Sabbath represented became real for us in the ultimate sacrifice of Christ on the cross when he shed his blood. That brought to us the rest that they all looked forward to. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I love resting in the Lord every single day. I feel at rest in him now, even with all this tech trouble I'm having. I'm resting in Jesus.
Amen. And that's the way we should be. And so, Chuck, I hope that answers it for you, because, again, the Bible clearly says, don't let anybody judge you according to new moons and Sabbaths and all these kinds of things, because our righteousness is not generated in what we do, never will be. It's generated in what Jesus Christ did for us. And we put on his robe of righteousness, the scripture tells us. Here's why that's important. Because the minute my spirituality begins to be generated from me, I'm in trouble. Because how much do I do to really prove I'm spiritual? This is where the problem comes in. So, Jesus, they came to him and they said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Now, I can see them licking their chops when they ask this question, because in some way it would vindicate them in something that they were personally doing. Oh, look at me. Look how good I am. I'm Captain Shiny Buttons. Look at everything that I do right. And Jesus said it like this. He said, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And then the second commandment of Jesus was love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says something that knocks the wheels off the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Seventh-day Adventists, and everybody else out there that try to get people to go back under the law, just exactly what Galatians warns about. Oh, foolish Galatians, you begun in the spirit, are you going to be made perfect in the flesh? Paul asks. He says this, Jesus said, upon these two, loving God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, loving your neighbor as yourself, upon these two, and here it is, hang all the law of the prophets. All in the Greek there means all. Everything that the Old Testament was about was to love God and love your fellow man. And upon these two hang all the law and the prophets. Wow. Talk about freedom in Christ. That's why Paul says they came in and they spied out our liberty in Christ. Why is that? Because you see, I am not generating my own spirituality. I'm letting God be God. Any last thoughts?
No, I think that's exactly right. And the Lord, you know, Paul hated nothing more than people who came along, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and others, the Judaizers, and tried to enforce the Old Testament rules and regulations on a New Testament believers. Nothing made Paul the apostle angrier with righteous anger than that. And he was always telling believers, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Because Jesus Christ has set you free. You have been made free, set at liberty by Christ. So don't be entangled again in all the, the foods and the festivals and the Sabbaths and the new moons and so on and so forth. Because Jesus came to set us free from that. And all of those things now are passe. We are walking in the liberty that Jesus brings. Mike?
Yeah, they were a picture of Christ. Jesus said this. He said, search the scriptures, speaking of the Old Testament. In them you think you have eternal life, but they are which testify of me. All the Old Testament laws, rules, regulations were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. You cannot mix Old Testament Judaism with Christianity. You do not have true Christianity then. Either Jesus paid it all, or honestly, he didn't pay any of it. That's exactly what the problem with the Judaizers were. That, well, it's Jesus plus a bunch of other stuff. Anytime you find any religion saying it's Jesus, the Bible, and our specialized books, Jesus and our rules and regulations, Jesus and our creeds, Jesus and something else, run with all speed. Hope that helps, Chuck.
It does. Thank you all very much. God bless you.
God bless you. Stay on the line if you like. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And with that, we'll go to Wayne, Eagle, Idaho, up by Boise. Hi, welcome.
Hi, pastors. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. I had a, it's funny. It's an incident that just happened today. I work for a school district. Wanted to know your thoughts. I had so my Outlook account, I have a signature, and on my signature, I thought it was appropriate with the elections and everything. I had an American flag. And in the background, there's a small cross.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked to have that removed by the end of the day. It put me in an uncomfortable spot. I want to be respectful. I want the job and I don't want to push anything like that, but it's really, it gets you into that position to where you're provoked to make a response. And I wanted to know what your thoughts were on it.
Your thoughts.
Well, that's number one. That's absurd. That is a transgression of your freedom of speech and your freedom of religion. So to me, now you're saying the school district required you to remove the cross
from your what? Facebook?
From your messenger?
No, this was from an Outlook account. So it's part of the school district. So I have an Outlook account with the school district. I have my signature on there, and then it allows you to put an image. So on the image, there's a American flag, and then there's a cross. I was specifically told that it wasn't the flag that was the problem. It was the cross that was the problem, and that I had till the end of the day to remove it from mine. So it's a work-related computer. It's a work email account, and it is for the school district.
I find that to be discriminatory myself, and I don't think they have a constitutional right to ask you that of you. No. And you're in Idaho. You're not in California. You're in Idaho.
Yeah, but the loons are slowly working their way up here, Jeff, and that's
yes,
one of the problems. You know, Daniel, Wayne, what I would do, I think, and I don't feel that Jeff or myself, I can't speak for Jeff, but I don't feel that I would be qualified enough to give you a definitive answer, but I would definitely tell you to seek some legal counsel on this. I think they're overstepping their bounds. If you had something else that was offensive, but I really believe there's something else going on there, and I'd want to get to the bottom. I think my question would be, why do you want me to take the cross off? I think I would ask questions, and you might be targeted, and if the righteous people allow bullies and thugs, and it sounds like that's what you've fallen into, whether they say they're from the school district or not, I want to know. My next question would be to them, since you're an educator. So does this mean if I show a picture of Arlington Cemetery in my classroom, now you're going to tell me to take that down as well? By the way, for those that don't know what Arlington Cemetery is, it's where our soldiers, thousands, tens of thousands, are buried with white crosses on their graves. I don't understand the logic here. I think, Wayne, you may be targeted, and I think I would really honestly, I don't know, Jeff, what you think, but I think I would seek some legal counsel on this.
I would, too, if you want to take it that far, because it's your
You're going to have to, because they're not going to back down. I know.
No,
these clowns, they've destroyed California with all their liberalism and all this junk. It's an unfit state to live in. And then they come into the red states that have freedom, and then they start pumping their poison out again. Hey, all you dumb Californians, I'm a Californian. I have a right to say this, okay? It's the Kool-Aid. What you've been drinking down there has destroyed your country, destroyed your state, and then you come into the other Western states that still have freedom, and you're pumping your poison, pumping that Kool-Aid again. Well, you know, I think, Wayne, maybe I'd just go talk to a lawyer and say, do they have any legal grounds to do this? And I would play it accordingly. maybe get a pen and a pen. Does this have your picture on it as well?
No, no, it's just my name with the my position and phone number, and then underneath it's just the image, and it's just a small cross in the background. I had that exact thought that you had mentioned with the Arlington Cemetery, because of course there's the crosses in the background. So if you use that image, how is it? You just, it's a slippery slope. I mean, you, at what point do you,
what are you going to stop? I would stand up to them. Yeah. I'd choose them off. You know, what good's our faith if every time we're challenged, we run? Isn't it time we as Christians stand up and say no? And I think you need to go get some really good legal counsel. And if you're fired over this, you may have a major lawsuit against Eagle, Idaho's school district. And so be it. Put me on the jury is all I can say.
And, you know, you could also, Wayne, are they saying, well, I can't wear a cross? I can't wear a cross necklace, a cross bracelet?
Where are you going to stop?
Yeah, it's clearly persecutorial. It is. And it's very strange. When they said to you, it's the cross that is the problem, did they just leave it there? Did they say why the cross was the problem?
No, it was just a complaint. I was pulled into the office and explained that, you know, there was something they needed to talk about. And that he said that was an image on your computer, on the on your signature. And it was funny because it was very specific. He said it wasn't cross, the flag that was a problem. It's the cross that's the problem, and that somebody was bothered by it, and that we work for the school district, and he believes it's something with the separation of, and you know, and that thing is a whole myth in it.
Yeah, so, he believes it's something. Oh, it's something, something out there, something. No, yeah. I think you.
This is the persecution that is percolating.
Yeah, and you need to get legal counsel.
This is the persecution that's percolating.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd get legal counsel, Wayne. I certainly would, because again, these guys are bullies. You know, they've gone through. They, you know, America. This is how stupid your country has gotten. Okay, we have had manger scenes in city parks. Manger scenes in city parks for over 200 years. Manger scenes in city parks at Christmas. 200 years. And then some liberal Supreme Court justices say it's not constitutional. Excuse me, it's been constitutional for 200 years. What is your problem? See, these people, they're not taught American history anymore, are they? They're not taught how God influenced our nation. Are you going to, you know what, maybe you might take it down. Maybe you might do this. How about this? Here's a thought. Maybe take it down, and in place of even the flag or a flag in just one little corner, put up on the your website Abraham Lincoln's address that's there at the Lincoln Memorial on the right-hand side where he's sitting there. You can look it up, all about how God played such an important place in our country and how we are indebted to him. All these things, put that up instead. I think that's what I'd do. I think what I'd do is say, okay, I'll take it down and put up what's on the Lincoln Memorial instead. It's far more convicting than just a cross. And Abraham Lincoln, a statement by an American president in the Lincoln Memorial, if that causes a problem with them, I would say you have a problem with American history. Swing it back around. Just a thought, Wayne, you might want to look that up. I don't know if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., saw the Lincoln Memorial, but on the right-hand side, carved into the alabaster, there's this wonderful short, couple of verses long speech that Abraham Lincoln made concerning God and our country. I read it and wept. I just couldn't believe that an American president had a something like that was almost that of any sermon you'd hear on Sunday in any true evangelical church in America. That might be a thought too. Why don't you take a look at that?
Sure, that's amazing. I actually have been to Washington, D.C. and then to the Lincoln Memorial with the school. So, you know,
did you really see that on the side there then? Did you read that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd put that up instead. Just say, okay, I took it down. I'll put up American history instead. How's that?
That sounds great.
All right. Well, that's why we're here. Father, just give Wayne wisdom in what to do. Lord,
yes,
you are great in what you do for us. We want to be harmless as doves, but we need to be wise, God, in these days. And so we want to show forth love, but we don't want to confuse the love with cowardice. And so, Lord, give him wisdom as he does these things in Jesus' name. Wayne, put that up. I want to know what the reaction is. Please call us back.
Sure. Thank you.
God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, just, yeah, give Eagle, Idaho School District a little history lesson. Wow. Now, there's something you would never believe would happen, would you? Let's go. So, Wayne, stay on the line if you like. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. And with that, we will go to Daniel, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Mike and Jeff. Yesterday you were talking about, I don't know too much about the subject, but you were talking about martial law. If on December 14th, you know, if the Electoral College doesn't get it right, can you explain to me more about that and a possible scenario, what would play out if President Trump declared martial law, how that would work out?
Well, here's what the deal's going to be. The minute that they, and everybody knows the voting machines were absolutely tampered with. This isn't hearsay. This is absolute. They have literally hundreds of reports of voter fraud in the last election. We all know that. And they said that Trump won by a pretty substantial majority in Pennsylvania. But if they say, well, we're not going to declare a winner, and this is where the American news media is so out to lunch. It is not up to the American news media to declare who our president-elect is, as they keep saying, President-elect Biden. He is not the president-elect. That is determined by the Electoral College, not by CBS News or any other news organization. And this is where they're lying to the American people. Now, if you tell a lie long enough, it gives it credibility. I always remember what Adolf Hitler said. If you're going to tell a lie, tell a big one. Well, they've been big-wanting a lot of us with this president-elect stuff. The election was rigged. We all know it. That's why Biden could stay in his bunker, his basement, have six people show up at his rallies, and still carry the presidency. Wow. He wasn't even concerned. Why? Because the fix was in. And Pennsylvania stopped the voting count when Trump was way ahead, like 800,000 votes ahead. They stopped the voting machine at 64%. Everybody saw it because that's when the tampering began, when they began to add votes that weren't there. And they have proof of this. This isn't something made up. They have proof of all this. So when I believe that Trump is or whatever, they don't declare a winner, I think Antifa, who, you know, will burn your city down because you have an American flag, I think they're going to go nuts. And I think the rioting will start. And I think that Trump will have to call martial law and send in the National Guard. Which, when martial law is declared, the president does not have to step down until this crisis is over. Well, knowing how badly our voting machines were tampered with, I don't see any real solution to this peacefully. I really don't. I, you know, Jeff, I might be out to lunch. I've been out to lunch lots of times in my life, but I don't see any peaceful way out of this. Do you? Because you know, if they declare Trump the winner today, if they say, yeah, as a matter of fact, we found all this voting fraud, 600,000 votes, voter fraud for Biden, which is about the number it is, 625,000, I think it is. You're going to have Antifa and the George Soros terrorist in the world going nuts.
It'll be the closest thing to civil war since the civil war. Yeah. They'll go insane. It will be Katie bar the door. It will be every man on his own, every man for himself. Because if they do come out and say, you know, it was a rigged election, and Trump actually won, it's going to be God help us, because Antifa, the actual official Black Lives Matter organization, and I'm talking about the organization.
Yeah, not the idea. Not the idea of Black Lives Matter, but the actual defund the police, Marxist, destroy America, all that stuff. Yeah.
They will go insane. And the violence that we saw against the Million Man March last weekend, people knocked to the ground, knocked out, bloodied, sent to the hospital, will be, that'll happen squared to the 10th power. So we need to be in prayer either way, Mike. It's not going to end peacefully unless honest answers are given for the voting. And that's not going to happen.
No. And like, I really like what Rudy Giuliani said. He said, if these people are dumb enough to verify the votes of like in these different counties in Philadelphia, they're going to be prosecuted and prayerfully they'll be sent to jail for the rest of their life. When they willfully attested that these votes are true, when in fact they weren't, and when they're proven they're not, they're going to jail. And I think that's a good thing. So I really believe we're up against something we've never seen before, Daniel, in our life. And really, that's all we can say. We don't know what the future holds. This isn't a thus saith the Lord or anything like that. But I do believe, again, we need to be in prayer for our president. We need to be in prayer for our country, that we would enjoy the freedoms that we have right now. We're coming up on a break, everyone. We don't want you to go away. We'll come back. We'll have more right after this.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fee, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Hi, friends. Pastor Chapin from Calvary Chapel University with really, really great news for you. Calvary Chapel University is now fully accredited. That's right, fully accredited through TRAX, a national accrediting agency. If you're interested in completing or starting your 100% online college degree, go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today. Calvary Chapel University is not only online, but it's sound doctrinally and 100% based on the Word of God. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com to get your fully accredited college degree. One other blessing. If you apply between now and the end of December, you will get a 50% off tuition scholarship. That's half off your entire college degree for your entire college degree. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com, apply today, and Pamela and Donna will be happy to help you. Oh, one other thing. Pastor Skip Heitzig is now a faculty member, and he's teaching actively at Calvary Chapel University. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.com and apply today.
CSN International, the Christian satellite network, is broadcast on nearly 400 stations across the nation, including over 20 stations in Washington alone. You can listen in Assotin, Enumclaw, Mount Vernon, Moses Lake, Port Angeles, and many more stations throughout Washington and the nation. For the station nearest you, log on to csnradio.com. CSN International, where God's word is heard.
This is KAWZ Twin Falls, the Christian Satellite Network.
And we want to welcome you back to part three of Every Man an Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Jeff Wickwire. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And we're going to go back to the phones. We have with us John in San Antonio, Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hello. I'm glad. I appreciate you having me on your show.
How can we help?
And I would like to ask a two-part question.
Sure.
Whichever one you want to answer first, feel free to answer it. The first one is regarding the accepted Christian definition of faith and a Christian's dependence on the Bible. That was one of the questions I wanted to ask about. And then the other one was the Trinity and the creation of man. I don't know which one you want to start with.
Okay, Jeff, I'll let you answer.
Well, official definition of faith, you can't do better than Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. I could preach a sermon on that. We don't have time, but that is the best definition of faith in the Bible, I think. Faith is the substance of what you're hoping for. What are you hoping for? Faith is the substance of what you're hoping for, but is not yet here. And it is the evidence of what you don't yet see. And we walk by faith. We live by faith. The Bible says that our salvation begins by faith. We live our Christian life out by faith, and we die by faith. And if we happen to be here when the rapture comes, we will be caught up together with him in the clouds by faith. But faith is the means by which what is in heaven is brought to earth. We place our faith not in faith, but in the promises of God and in the God of the promises. And when you place your faith in the God of the promises and the promises that he's made to us, for instance, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you place your faith in him and ask him to forgive you, it is a guarantee whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there you're placing your faith, not in faith itself. That's a trap. That's a false teaching. We place our faith in God, who gave us certain promises that we are to place faith in. And I trust the promises will be fulfilled because I trust in the integrity of the God of the promises. So it's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of what you do not yet see, but what is certainly going to arrive one day because you're trusting the God of the promises to be true to his word. And I hope that helps, Mike.
Yeah, and I believe that, again, when we look at the rest of this, and again, where God spoke concerning man, he said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And you couple that with the very first verse of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the word God there is the word Elohim. And it's plural. It's not singular. Now, that doesn't allow the reader to start saying, oh, well, the gods created the heavens and the earth. That would be Zeus and Hermes and all these other. No, no. The rest of the Bible tells us who this Elohim is, that he's procreative. Let us make man in our image. Now, do I see a triune being in us? The Bible says we're made in his image. If God's a three being God, you might say, not three separate gods. It's a mystery. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to understand it more fully, like an egg. What part of an egg is not an egg? The shell is an egg. The yolk is the egg. The white part's the egg. It's all egg. If you take any one of those elements away, you don't have an egg. You might have an omelet, but you don't have an egg. The shell is no less value than the yolk is, or the white part is. Now, we may not want to eat the shell, but that doesn't make it any less of an egg. So you have three components making one thing. I think it's a pretty good illustration, but then again, I don't think you can compare the majesty of God in just an egg. So I have to wait to get to heaven to know him, see him as he is. But when it comes to let us make man in our image according to our likeness, I see myself and people in general as a composite triune being as well. I see a body, I see a mind, I see a spirit. And the Bible tells us that when these three work together, it's wonderful. When they work apart from each other, we have AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Your body will say, I want alcohol. Your brain will say, I know I shouldn't drink. But there's nothing to stop those urges, and so a person will drink. Even though your brain knows it is killing your body, a person will continue to drink. This is why Jesus said, marvel not that I say to you, and he said this to a religious leader, you must be born again. Because there's something that died inside of man when he ate of the tree, went into rebellion against God, and that has been going on ever since the garden. So yes, I believe that God is a triune being. I believe we're a triune being. And I believe this is why when a person gets born again, they can get off of drugs. When they become born again, they can stop drinking. When they get born again, they can stop their violent tempers. Because there's a spirit now born in them by God that helps govern the mind and the body. But without that spirit, pretty much people do whatever feels good. You've heard that saying, saw bumper stickers. If it feels good, do it. That's the way an animal lives. But that's not a way a person made in the image of God should live. And I believe that's what the big difference is. Hope that helps, John.
Can you hear me speaking
yes.
right now?
Yep.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you hear me because I was trying to say something and it was just like a long old, not a tangent, but more like a, what is that thing, a preach, when like preachers, a speech. There you go. I was trying to specifically ask a question and then y'all went off into, I guess, your own talking points that other people, you know, throw at you. So you, I wasn't going to, my point in calling, I was trying to say, okay, yes. And I just wanted him to give the definition, which was simply the things hoped for and that,
yes, uh-huh.
that scene. We Hebrews. Live by faith and not by sight. That's basically all I was asking. And he said that. And then I don't know what else he said earlier because it was too much for me.
But well, basically
my point, yeah, but basically my point was saying, so you agree that faith doesn't come from seeing things, but you do agree that even in the scripture, it says that, what is it called? Salvation comes from hearing the word, right?
Well, no, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Salvation, how will they believe unless somebody tells them? And so that's why we preach the gospel. That's what the message of the gospel is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's what the message of the gospel is.
Is that Christianity, the mainstream accepted definition of faith, is that things not seen. But yet when we ask you for why do you have faith and believe in these things, they point to the Bible that they're reading. And I'm just like, isn't that kind of a contradiction? Because if I speak to you the truth and it's God's truth, you're going to say, well, show me. And that's already you having living by sight in the Bible where it says that, and I will believe you. And that's a contradiction to what most Christians say, how they have faith, which is by sight. I mean, not by sight. And it does come from hearing the word. Faith comes from hearing the word, but most people that are religious won't believe something unless they see some form of physical evidence. Like,
well, that's true. That's true, because we remember that many people, as I read earlier, believed on Jesus because Lazarus was brought back to the dead. But we also need to remember something. The very people that believed on the miracle that Jesus did when he raised Lazarus from the dead also hardened the Pharisees' heart, and they sought to kill him and Lazarus as well, Jesus and Lazarus. The more miracles that God did at the hand of Moses, the harder Pharaoh's heart got. Now, the Bible says this, and I think this is really important. The invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. So we don't, and I don't know if this is where you were going with this, John, because I'm trying to help too, is that we want to be careful of circular reasoning. In other words, I get my faith from the Bible, and the reason the Bible is true is because I believe it's true. And so therefore, I'm staying within the Bible for my faith without interjecting anything else. That is not real Christianity. Because again, the Bible says the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. So when we look at creation as an example, there is no other explanation how we all got here. Oh, I've heard the evolutionist talk. That's mindless. There are no transitory life forms, living or dead. Well, it all started with the Big Bang. Okay, who lit the fuse? Where did that come from? How long has it been going on? And what's really weird, in all of our space exploration, with all of our radio telescopes, we have never found one sign of life anywhere in the universe except on this planet. That, to me, whether you're a Christian or not, never want to be a Christian, that would make me sit back in my chair and go, huh, that's pretty weird. Why is it that we don't find microscopic bugs on the moon or on Mars or anywhere else? Why, when we put our big radio telescopes up listening for signals from outer space, we don't find anything? Oh, they'll get a blip and, oh, that's a signal. And then they really begin to investigate it and find out it was some abnormality out and, you know, some energy pulse. But we don't find it. See, so this is one of the things I want to tell you. When you become a Christian, you don't have to put your brain in neutral when you walk into church. Now, in cults, you do. You just, we said it, you believe it, that's it. That's not what real Christianity is. Real Christianity is where we can logically look at everything. I can look at the nature of man. I can look where our world is going. I can see what the Bible said, written 2,000 years ago, that we are headed for a time on this planet where every living thing in the sea dies. You're not going to be able to buy or sell unless you have a mark on your hand or on your forehead. Can you see North Korea, some other country, maybe even a meteorite or a comet hitting the earth and killing every living thing on the planet? Yeah, I can. That's what the Bible says. Every living thing in the sea dies. Now, whether man does it or God does it, I don't know. But I know you set off enough nuclear bombs, misguided bombs like North Korea's, notorious for, you're going to have real ecological disaster that's going to make global warming seem like a Sunday afternoon picnic. But that's what the Bible says the world is headed for. It also tells me it's headed for a one world order, a one world religion. Can I see that formation even right now? Absolutely. So what I'm saying is that I don't believe we have to necessarily even look back to prove God's existence. I believe we can look forward. And the Bible says, see, I've told you beforehand, one third of the Bible is prophecy. Two thirds have already been fulfilled, but this is where it gets exciting. One third is yet to happen. And it ain't good. And this is something else, whether a person's a Christian or not. If you're not a Christian listening to this, I got something for you. When you stop to think that man has always used every weapon he's ever invented. Friends, this world is on a collision course. Now, you can say, well, I don't believe in God. Well, maybe you don't. But I can tell you this. You got a better idea? Because when you study history, and I know we don't teach it in schools anymore. We don't tell people how to think. We teach them what to think. It's called brainwashing. But when you go and you realize man has always used every weapon he's ever invented, and you look at the arsenals, well, America would never do that. Russia would never. I don't care about Russia. And China will. They unleashed COVID on the world. I don't think they care much about humanity. You look at these underdeveloped nations like North Korea, 30th poorest country on earth, making nuclear weapons. Where do you think all this is going to go? So that's what I tell people. Any last thoughts, Jeff?
Well, John, I know that you're wondering about the sight versus just believing something. As Mike quoted, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God. So faith gives us a worldview. It gives us a lens through which to see everything around us and to interpret everything that comes our way. When I look at the world, I interpret it through the lens of faith. And my faith is based on the word of God and on the promises in the word of God and the clear reality of God. And so my faith is the worldview lens through which I see everything. When I look at the world, I see a world created by God, a universe created by God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day after day, they utter speech. Night after night, they preach the knowledge of God. And so I hope this is answering your question about faith, because really it's not a complicated topic. Faith is a gift from God. None of us would have it if God did not give it to us. And through faith, we understand, we develop our worldview. We see and experience and interpret everything around us through that lens. It's not a fairy tale. It's not wishful thinking. It's not, it's not a myth. It's not wishful thinking. It is a fact. Faith is based on facts, and those facts are God and his promises. So has this cleared it up for you, John, at all?
Like, you are talking to an atheist, and I'm not an atheist. I feel like everything you're saying is blatantly obvious, and it's like, you know, baby milk. It's if you're a Christian, obviously that's all true. And, you know, God's the one who's going to reveal this stuff to you. It doesn't matter how much you tell somebody, you know, it says it in the Bible. We're here to speak the truth, not to make anybody believe anything. If they don't want to believe it, that's up to them. We did our part. I'm trying to ask some deeper questions here, but y'all, like I said, I feel like y'all are talking to atheists, and it doesn't answer my questions, because I'm literally trying to say,
ask your question again.
Please don't. Okay. How is it possible for Christians to say that they are not, that they believe in God in the way that they have faith in God in the way where they live by faith and not by sight, but yet if they didn't have the Bible, then they wouldn't know God's word or anything. Even though it says in the Bible, God gives us a measure of faith and truth, still they wouldn't be able to be like, oh, this is true. People wouldn't be able to determine for themselves what God's saying, what God is trying to tell us, because we need to see something in order to believe that that's what God said.
I think I get it.
I'm just saying it's contradictory when Christians say, without the Bible, I would be lost. It's like, no, without God, without the Holy Spirit, you'll be lost. That's the Bible is a medium. It's a tool. The Holy Spirit is the one that actually helps you. That's where I was trying to go with that. And then the last question, and I'm going to leave here, was with the Trinity and the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, yeah, it does say, let us make man in our image. And it goes on to say, male and female, we will create them. And that's suggesting that there are multiple people in heaven and that they have a male and a female gender. Do you agree or disagree with that?
Okay, Jeff.
You're asking if there's a male and female gender in heaven?
No, I'm not asking you. I'm saying when you look in the scriptures, and it's in Genesis, it says, we will create man in our image, male and female, we will create them. I'm asking you, what does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, man was
God
created
speaking in heaven.
Right. Man was created in the image of God. But God took the rib from man and created woman. So I really believe that again, we human beings and males were created in the image of God. Then the woman was created from man. So indirectly, yes, God created everything. He created male and female. He begot them. I don't think we have a problem with that. But we do realize the Bible says we'll be known as we're known in heaven. I don't think there's going to be a gender issue in heaven. The Bible says we'll be married to Christ forever. So I don't exactly know how that all works, Jeff, but I just take it from what God's word says. Now, the Bible also says, when you seek me, you'll find me, when you search for me with all your heart. And maybe this answers a little more of your question, John, than I was earlier approaching. That I believe that a person, if they set out to know who God is, I think God will reveal himself to them. And I think we found that in the Bible. I think we found it in different places. Remember, Abraham, God singled him out, and of you I make a great nation. It doesn't say that Abraham did any great thing to garner God's attention to make a great nation. God just says, I'm going to bless you. I like that about God. He just singles us out. I'm going to bless you. That's good. Your thoughts?
Well, yes, I totally agree. And, you know, I'm thinking about John's earlier question and the whole faith issue. And if we say that we walk by faith and not sight, then why do we need the Bible, which we can see? But that really kind of begs the question that and sort of ignores the fact that God is a God of revelation. We would not know a thing about him if he did not reveal himself to us. That's where the word revelation is all about. If God had not come and through the Holy Spirit and by his revealed word told us who he was, what he's like, what we can expect from him, what pleases him, how we can walk with him, all the ways he has revealed himself progressively throughout Scripture, we would never have known about God. So it's sort of a contradiction there. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight. However, we do need the Scriptures. You know, you kind of disparaging a little bit there, John, talked about people saying they really need the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you straight up, I need the Bible. I need the Bible to explain God to me. I need the Bible progressively to tell me more and more about him, to feed me on a daily basis, to refresh me on his promises, to inform me of who he is. Because without revelation, we don't have any knowledge of God. And that's where we missed it with the Enlightenment. The Enlightenment taught that we don't need revelation. All we need is reason. And it was the age of reason, was the Enlightenment. But it's not true. We can't discover God by reason. He must reveal himself to us. So for me, it's not a contradiction to say that I need the Scriptures, because I do need the Scriptures to explain God to me. But I do walk by faith at the very same time, and not by sight, in that I believe an invisible God to bring his promises in my life. And I don't know if that helps or not, John. Maybe we're not going to be able to totally, I don't know, agree today or not. I don't know. But that's my thoughts on your statement about Christians who say, boy, I really need the Bible, and yet I say I walk by faith. I need the Bible.
Well, Jesus,
I do walk by faith.
Jesus said you need the Bible. The Bible tells us in the Gospels, Jesus said, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he was talking about the Bible. And so, you know, is it possible to be saved without a Bible? I believe it is, because that's the message of the gospel. However, I believe that once the Holy Spirit comes in our life, then the Bible makes sense to us. We begin to read, and the Holy Spirit communicates his truth to us through his word. John, stay online if you like. I'll send you out a couple books, a couple of DVDs. And the DVDs, I think, will help you more than anything, because it really approaches the gospel and the Bible and God from logic. And I like logic. I again, as I told you earlier, I don't believe we have to put our brain in neutral when we walk into church. So God of Wonders is going to be most helpful for you. This gets back to the invisible attributes of God are clearly seen. And when you see that, you have to say, hey, these things couldn't have just happened. The symbiotic relationship between plants and animals and all these kinds of things. So that's going to really help you. And then evolution versus God also goes back to nuts and bolts absolutes. And so I think it'll really, really bless you. So, John, if you stay on the line, I'll get those out to you. I promise the God Squad will not come to your house. We don't do that, by the way, ever. We don't use that list to get you on a mailing list to badger you for money endlessly. We do this because so much of Christianity is on the take, and we are not here at CSN. We're on the give. And that's why I offer this wherever, when anybody calls in, I want to be sure that they're ministered to and continue to be ministered to free of charge. No, you'll never get a beg letter from us. Anybody that's ever called in here and gotten the God of Wonders or the Evolution versus God or any of the other things that I offer here on the radio program, I do that because I care about you. And so, again, those are for those that call in, because I believe right now we need to really encourage one another, help one another stand for what's true. You know, Jeff, we're almost out of time, and we've got so many people on the line, Quill, Mike, Rob, Tom, Christy. please, if you'll call us tomorrow, I'll put you on first thing. You don't have to wait in line. Shannon will be with me tomorrow, and I always appreciate the girl's perspective here as well. But any last thoughts in the last 30 seconds?
No, I hope it helped, John. And in all honesty and respectfully, the first question was a little bit difficult to decipher, and but I think we finally nailed it. At least I hope we did.
Yeah.
That is not a contradiction to say I walk by faith and not by sight, but I do need to see the Word of God and read the promises and receive the revelation of Scripture.
Amen.
So, great show today. I really appreciated the incredible questions that we got, Mike. They were good ones.
Amen. They were. And so, for all of you that called in, you're on the line right now, call back. We'll put you on first thing tomorrow. Once again, stop by Facebook to Every Man and Answer. See the videos we put up there. And until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Thanks. Thanks for being on the program, Jeff. God bless you.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.
The preceding program was brought to you by Tower Keepers. Support your local CSN station.